This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And you wouldn't know it from much of the weather that we've had this week, but summer is almost here, and that means it's time for, well, let's let this tune by Orleans singer-songwriter David Roth sum it up for us.
You're sitting at work and you dream of the beach and the dunes. So you hop in your car on Friday at the crack of noon. Approaching the bridge, you're reduced to a crawl and a prayer. And it's anyone's guess how long until you get there. Cape Cod, love, hate, Route 6, be late. One lane, oh God, summer.
Well, most of us probably do have a love-hate relationship with the Cape. We hate the fact that everyone else loves it as much as we do.
Not to worry, though, because John Marcus, editor of MySecretBoston.com, is here to share some not widely known destinations on the Cape and Islands that might help you beat the crowds. John, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we want to hear your secrets as well. Anything fun to do or see off the beaten path on the Cape, Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket? You want to give us, let us know or share with us, just the three of us here. We promise nobody else is listening.
No one else will find out.
It's Friday. No, really, really, we swear. Call us at 1-800-423-8255. Share your Cape secrets at 1-800-423-TALK.
So, John, let's begin on the Cape itself. A lot of people will tell you they have a hidden little cottage somewhere, but you know about a place that's really isolated.
It's true. It's really hard to believe there's much left on Cape Cod that people haven't discovered, but there is, and one of those places is a place to stay that's 2.5 miles away from the nearest road. You can actually stay at the Race Point Lighthouse in Provincetown.
Wow. So at a real lighthouse, obviously.
At a real lighthouse.
Yeah. So how do you get there?
Well, a volunteer lighthouse keeper will drive you across the dunes from Race Point Beach Road, which is the nearest stretch of pavement, and it's a nice place to stay. It's been recently renovated. There's a keeper's house and a whistle house, and there are several bedrooms in these buildings.
So when there was an actual lighthouse keeper out there, how did he get out there?
Well, for a long time, he walked, and his kids would walk to school each day, 2.5 miles over the sand dunes.
Wow.
Until the 1930s, and a lighthouse keeper who was assigned to Race Point Light, his name was James Hinckley, he invented the dune buggy. He customized an old Ford to get him back and forth across the dunes just so he wouldn't have to carry his groceries across that sand.
So, John, we checked online, and rates for staying in the keeper's house run from $145 a night to $185 a night, which isn't terrible. But you have a line on an even cheaper place to stay.
That's right. You can stay on Cape Cod for $29 to $39 a night.
Wow.
There are not only on Cape Cod, but on Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard also.
And this isn't bring your tent and pitch it in the parking lot behind the 7-Eleven.
No. And I'm going to tell you, these are hostels, but these hostels are spectacular. Spectacularly nice, many of them right on the beach with ocean and beach access in historic buildings, beautifully maintained, and $29 a night. Plus, if you're not a member of the Hostel Association, it's another $3.
Well, John, we've got a call here, someone who wants to share a Cape secret. Again, we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Abby's calling from Berlin. Welcome to Radio Boston, Abby.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great. So what's your secret?
I mean, it's not a secret. I think it's a secret a lot of us share, but the kettle ponds are kind of a lesser-known highlight of Cape Cod. Good way to get a freshwater dip after visiting the beach.
And John, your thoughts on the kettle ponds?
That's true. There are a lot of lakes. Anyone that's ridden on the Cape Cod Rail Trail, for example, there are a lot of inland lakes that people overlook because Cape Cod is so closely associated with saltwater beaches that are incredibly crowded and impossible to park.
Abby, thanks so much for sharing that with us. John, let's talk a little bit about places to eat. You've got a secret about the famous Chillingworth Fine Dining Institution in Brewster.
That's true. Chillingworth is by no means a secret, but it's weeks ahead of time to make a reservation to pay basically a couple of weeks' salary for dinner there. But there's a secret about Chillingworth, which is that there's a more casual bistro in Chillingworth with a different menu, a separate menu, and it's a lot easier to get a table there. They also have a terrific Sunday brunch. It is cheaper than Chillingworth. It's not you know, that it's not hearth and kettle prices, but it's fairly cheap and delicious. The scrambled eggs at that Sunday brunch are made with truffle oil.
Okay, suppose even though you might want it, your wallet can't handle truffle oil, something, anything else at the other end of the cost spectrum?
There's a lot of terrific places a little bit off the beaten path on Cape Cod to eat. One of my favorite sandwiches in the world is actually on Nantucket. It's called the Turkey Terrific. I like to describe it as truth in advertising. The Turkey Terrific is brined roast turkey and stuffing. Provisions is a little hole in the wall in Nantucket Town that's run by Amanda Lydon, who comes from the well-known chef family.
Sounds delicious.
So, John, let's move on to some historical sites on the Cape. You have a restaurant recommendation for the history buffs in the audience. The War of 1812 Bicentennial is next week, and we've got some coverage of that plan. But apparently there's an establishment, I've never heard about this, in Falmouth that features a rare physical vestige of the War of 1812.
That's true. During the War of 1812, Falmouth was besieged by a British warship called the Nimrod, which demanded that the town surrender its guns, and their response collectively was come and get them, which is almost as good as don't give up the ship or don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. So they fired, and there's a cannonball hole in what is now the men's room of the Nimrod restaurant in Falmouth.
Was it the men's room then?
That's an excellent question, and you've stumped me there. But I will tell you, you can actually find the cannonball. The hole is in the restaurant. The cannonball is down the street at the Conant House Museum, which is an historical museum, along with the ship's log from the HMS Nimrod.
So there's more military history to be experienced on the Cape. Surprisingly, you tell us something from World War I, right?
One of the most interesting secrets of Cape Cod is that it was the only place in America ever shelled by an enemy during World War I. In Orleans, a German submarine in 1918, the submarine U-156, fired on Orleans and shelled the town of Orleans almost at the end of the war.
Listeners, we're talking to John Marcus, editor of MySecretBoston.com, about secrets on the Cape and Islands. You can join the conversation. Offer yours, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK.
On that note, let's go to Tristan, who's calling from Cambridge. You're on the air, Tristan.
Hi there.
Hi.
So my little secret, which is, it's not really a place you can go exactly or a thing you can buy, but they're all over the Cape. There are these places where at low tide, the water just seems to recess forever, and you get hundreds and hundreds of feet of this kind of like mud flat material that'll sink up to about your knees, and you can walk out into it and feel like you're in the middle of the ocean, and then the sun rises and you're standing on the sunrise.
Now, do you have a specific favorite spot? And I'm only laughing because the thought of walking out during low tide and being up to your knees in mud and then making it back in time for before the tide comes in might seem a challenge, but do you have a favorite spot, Tristan?
You know, I don't even know where it was. I was determined to see the sunrise on the Cape one morning with a friend of mine, so we just drove until there was light on the horizon and went towards the ocean. But I know that I've seen it more than once since then, and it's really beautiful, and the tide comes in really slowly, so it's not a concern.
It does
be more than 100 feet from shore.
It does actually sound quite beautiful, Tristan.
Tristan's talking about the Bayside, and you can experience what he's describing off of Brewster, for example, on the north side of the Cape.
Tristan, thank you so much for your call. John, since we were on history just a moment ago, let's move on to museums, because it seems like there are some good ways, maybe some old-fashioned ways, to take in the Cape. I hear that you can travel there, or at least up and down the Cape, by train.
That's true. There is a train called the Cape Cod Central Railroad. It's a dinner and sightseeing train that rides around Cape Cod and some of the original rails there. At one time, though, people went to Cape Cod by train, and there is now, and this satisfies the largely unfulfilled need to find something to do with your kids if it rains. There's a train museum, a railroad museum, and it's in Chatham. Not widely known. It was founded by a retired executive from the New York Central system who retired to Chatham. It's the Chatham Railroad Museum. And it's a great place to take kids on a rainy day.
So, you know, people might consider the endless line of traffic between the Cape and the mainland as a train of cars, but I understand that the train was actually a primary way to get on and off the Cape back in the day.
That's true, and that's why the Buzzards Bay Bridge is a train bridge that rises up and down. It's unique in itself, and that was that carried passenger trains.
Let's take a call. Matthew is calling from Worcester. Hi, Matthew. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to tell people about a museum that just opened up last year in North Chatham, which should inspire your radio listeners because it has to do with radio. It's the Marconi Museum in North Chatham, Mass.
Oh, fantastic. Marconi, of course, the inventor of radio.
And the first transmission was received in Wellfleet, and there's long been an historical site there. I'm not familiar with the museum, but you can go and see where the actual transmission came ashore.
Marconi Beach, in fact.
And the beach is named for him as well.
Matthew, thanks so much for that that great suggestion. And by the way, listeners, we're going to put all of these at radioboston.org on our website. John's suggestions will also round up the ones from all our listeners. John, let's move on to some outdoor fun ideas for that. Museums are great on a rainy day, but of course, most of us go to the Cape to be outside. Give us an alternative to the big beaches, places like Coast Guard Beach that are so often choked with people.
This is one of my favorite places on Cape Cod, and most people drive right past it. There is a just west of the main entrance to the Cape Cod National Seashore. If you look closely enough as you're driving past on Route 6, you'll see the sign that leads to this particular section of the National Seashore. It's called Fort Hill, and it's historic, it's natural, and it's extraordinarily uncrowded because nobody knows it's there. It's where the French explorer Samuel de Champlain dropped anchor 15 years before the Pilgrims. It's where the Mayflower first sighted land. There are walking trails, hiking trails, extraordinary views, and an historic whaling captain's house.
Fantastic. How about some ideas around outdoor entertainment?
Well, the best free entertainment on Cape Cod is to go and watch, and this isn't necessarily a secret, the Cape Cod Baseball League.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
It's some of the best baseball you can see. It's the premier collegiate summer league. Some of the sports top pro players have played in the Cape Cod Baseball League. Mike Lowell, Mo Vaughn, Nomar Garciaparra, Thurman Munson, Jason Veritek. The list goes on. Jacoby Ellsbury. It's free.
Free.
People pass the hat. You bring your yeah. your lawn chair or a blanket and a picnic.
Or you buy a hot dog for all of $1.50 or whatever.
No.
It is. Yeah, something like that. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, every seat is a good seat, and hot dogs are cheap.
It's a great deal. And one other thing that people tend not to know is that the Cape Cod Baseball League has its own Hall of Fame. And the Hall of Fame of the Cape Cod Baseball League is located in the equally little-known John F. Kennedy Museum, which is on Main Street in Hyannis.
It really is baseball the way it's supposed to be played.
Sure. Well, let's take another call. Sarah's calling from Roxbury. You're on the air, Sarah.
Hi, yes. I grew up in East Kim, and my family goes way back. My father was B6th grade in the one-room schoolhouse, now a museum across from the Seashore headquarters. I was calling not about family history, but because I think the First Encounter Beach in East Ham is a great place for families because it's what the other person was describing as far as low tide. It's very little water, and then high tide, it's quite swimmable and warm. And it's where the Pilgrims first had an encounter with the native population, a brief exchange of musket fire and arrows. Nobody got hurt, but there's a little plaque about it at the beach there. So it's a combination of history and a wonderful wide, long, sandy beach with shallow water at low tide and warm and swimmable, unlike the ocean.
Sounds lovely.
At high tide.
It's a great beach, and it's true. There is now a plaque that represents the true story of the first time that the Pilgrims and the natives encountered each other. They fired at each other. It wasn't the way we learned about it in elementary school. And in fact, no one was hurt. No one hit. They were all really bad shots, apparently. But the natives were unhappy that the English had come and essentially stolen all the food they'd stored away for winter, and that previous English vessels that had visited had taken Native Americans as slaves.
Hmm. Well, we did promise to get off the Cape and onto the island, so let's head out to Martha's Vineyard. We think of it as being a pretty posh place, but John, apparently you've got some food recommendations that are quite affordable.
A lot of really affordable things on Martha's Vineyard, including some wonderful entertainment, which consists, in that case, of watching the sunset from particular parts of that island. But the best lobster roll on Martha's Vineyard that we found isn't at a five-star restaurant or even at a clam shack. To get the best lobster roll, you have to go to the Grace Episcopal Church on Friday afternoon, and some Sundays during the winter, if you're on the island's off-season, which, by the way, is the best time to go, in my opinion, they raise money for the church, and they are homemade by locals and delicious.
Lobster rolls for a church fundraiser.
And for $13 a piece.
Wow. That's like the Holy Trinity, I guess. I'm sorry. Please don't send me letters about that joke. I do apologize. But let's talk about the town of Oak Bluffs, because it's famous for the gingerbread cottages, of course, owned by the Martha's Vineyard Camp Meeting Association. They're not necessarily for rent in the conventional sense, because they're used for meetings, but you know a way that anyone can actually get inside of them?
That's right. They're not open to the public because they're largely owned by families for generations, but there is one of those cottages that is open to the public, and it's called the Cottage Museum. It's the only place to see the inside of one of those beautiful Oak Bluffs gingerbread cottages. It has an exhibit of typical furnishings. Those cottages are as small as they look on the inside. One of the other things that you'll find in that museum is the rocking chair where President Ulysses S. Grant sat when he visited the colony one summer.
John, let's move on to Nantucket. A book and the beach may be a natural combination, but you tell us about another Nantucket combination that may not be as obvious.
You've got to have a book on the beach. You can't read your iPad. And so the place to go and get a good book is the hospital, because there's a hospital thrift shop that sells books. The Nantucket Cottage Hospital Thrift Shop has a killer selection of fiction and nonfiction. It's essentially a library that supports the hospital, because people buy books, bring them back, and the hospital resells them. It's a great place to find a book on Nantucket for cheap.
It sounds like a great idea. John, these are all great ideas. Thanks for coming in and sharing them with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
And listeners, that's John Marcus. He's the editor of MySecretBoston.com. We have links to all of his secrets about the Cape and the islands and many more that we didn't have a chance to get to at RadioBoston.org.
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages here and there, you're sure to fall in love where the old Cape Cod, if you like the
well, stay with us, because coming up, it's been a fixture of Saturday mornings and on WBUR for 35 years, but Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers of Car Talk fame, have said they're going to retire. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.